We're in no sense attempting to conduct a survey of residences, but really simply exploring three different residences that have occurred over the last year or so. And I thought it might be useful if each of you could perhaps quite briefly describe the residency that you've been involved in, structure. And wondered if, Ian, you'd like to start off with yours at Bridewell Studios.
Okay, my residency was for 1 year, based at the Bridewell Studios in Liverpool, for which I was given £6,000 from the Arts Council, and a fairly open-ended situation, in that my only obligations were to do a small introductory show when I arrived, and a concluding show at the end of the work that I actually made during that year. Other than that, there were no specific stipulations as to how I should relate to the situation. And in that sense, it was a very much kind of play-it-by-ear situation.
Did you find that difficult in the first place? I mean, in terms of forming contacts?
I found it difficult in the sense that prior to that, I'd led a fairly kind of insular life as an artist, in that I'd not been a kind of a committee man or anything like that. And yet, mm-hmm. upon my arrival in Liverpool, I found that people kind of asking me to sit on committees and things like that, and to actually get involved in the arts in a much more sort of social, political way.
Yes.
And in fact, I found that very interesting. In that sense, the year has been very fruitful, in that I learnt a lot about the kind of machinery and the way those things work.
So other organisations, galleries or whatever, have been quite prepared for your coming and were ready to, with situations into which you could...
Well,
find a place, if you wished.
I mean, Liverpool's peculiar in a sense in that the arts scene there is very polarised. It's the smallest regional arts association in the country, and it's tiny, and it's, I think, on the whole, a very unhealthy regional arts association, in that factors within the community tend to be very isolated and very fragmented. And I found my biggest problem initially was actually trying to move across from one area to another, without them feeling that I somehow was aligned with one of the other areas.
Right.
And that actually took a long time to break down, for them to feel that I wasn't aligning myself with a particular stance within the region, but was quite prepared to actually try and deal with everyone.
Yes. Did you feel that, in fact, that was something that you wanted to do? You wanted to be a kind of, as it were, liaison person, a communicator between those different groups?
No, I didn't set out with that intention. I just found that, in a sense, the only way I could survive the situation was to do that. Was that as soon as I aligned myself with a particular area, then it automatically excluded me from other areas, and that I actually had to keep a fairly open-ended situation going simply to actually keep moving.
Mm-hmm. That didn't exclude you from producing quite a lot of work, though, during your year. I mean, you didn't spend your whole time on committees.
No, but I was just a lot... Well, I mean, it was the first time I had sat on committees, etc. But, yeah, I got a lot of work done. I tend to work quite a lot anyway, but so it just followed on from that. But certainly having the money and no teaching commitments, I dropped all my teaching commitments as soon as I went up there, meant that I could more or less get on with the work full time.
And is that why you applied in the first place?
I applied in the first place because, for a number of reasons. One was a personal reason, that I actually wanted to get out of London for a while. Another one was that one of the things about being in London is that you do tend to actually become kind of like wallpaper on the art scene, and that your face is very, very familiar and everybody sees you around and everything. And I actually thought it was a good idea to sort of dislocate myself from all that and go away and work somewhere else.
Maggie, I wonder if you could perhaps say a few words about your residency at the National Gallery.
Well, the residency was being done for the first time absolutely as an experiment. I was to be given a studio, and I was to have recourse to every picture in the collection as and when I wanted. And the importance of the National Gallery is obviously the pictures. And so I worked, I would say, half the time from the pictures in the collection making studies, and half the time in my studio. It was entirely up to me how I dealt with the business of the public, and I suggested that they be invited to come to the studio once a week for an hour or so, for me to meet them, for us to talk. And I devised the way of dealing with that by taking the public with me to visit about half a dozen pictures each time, pictures that I loved and pictures I felt I could talk about. And obviously a painter talks about pictures in a different way from a lecturer or an academician, an academic. So we would make a visit to the various pictures I had chosen and discuss them, and then the public would come back up to the studio and they could ask me any questions they liked about the National Gallery pictures or about my own work, or really anything at all, and they poured forth lots and lots of questions.
How different do you feel you were from, say, the normal education department of the National Gallery in terms of their taking around?
I was completely different from the education department of the National Gallery. I never ever thought of myself as an educator in any way. The point was, I was there working as an artist all day, every day, and just once a week I had to deal with the public. And I think the idea was to make to bridge the gap between the art by dead people on the walls and the public, by having a living working artist there, to help the public meet the pictures and the pictures meet the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw that part of what I did. But I didn't really feel part of any department whatsoever.
Yeah. And it would seem from the number of people who actually continued to turn up at your studios that the public did get a lot out of it.
Well, it would seem so.
I mean, very different.
I can't say what it meant to the public, but I mean, a lot of them came quite often, again and again, and more and more people seemed to come.
Helen, you were in Yorkshire at Johnson's Brewery in Tadcaster. Can you say a little bit about your residency?
There were 6 artist in industry places set up by Yorkshire Arts, and invitations were put out to artists to apply for whichever one they felt would be most suitable. And I applied to John Smith's Brewery for their fellowship, primarily because rather than work with a heavy industrial, within a heavy industrial context, I wanted to work within an industry that had a very popular appeal, that everyone could relate to in some way or other, and everybody knows what beer's like. They've consumed beer, they've been in pubs. Initially, the year before, they'd chosen an artist who was based at the brewery. He was a painter, and he painted things around him that he saw, the hardware of the brewery. It was decided my year to send the artist out into the retail outlets, into the clubs and into the pubs, to see the contrasting side of the business. So, in fact, it fell even more into, I suppose, a sort of democratic, a very accessible field. Consequently, rather than be based in one pub where I could have some sort of studio that would seem rather a ludicrous thing to set up, it was decided to send me throughout the north over their wide marketing area. So I was travelling as far apart as Newcastle, to Sheffield, across to Manchester. Obviously I wasn't studio based, and the only materials I could take with me were what I could carry. I was also injected into what is a social situation as an outsider. There was no way I could gradually build up relationships and show people what I was doing so that they could see me working as an artist. Somehow I had to work very much on the spot and then move on to the next place. So I decided to use, rather than sit in a corner and be divorced from everyone, I thought it was important to mix as much as possible and use it as a social means of gathering material. So I became a sort of interviewer. I mean, I was an artistic cross between Monty Modlin and Nancy Wise from Radio 4. And although that sounds very open-ended, I tried to structure the thing so that my only 2 interests were in art and ale, which were the 2 things I was trying to bring together. So I would just try and pump these characters for what they felt about art, which of course was something they hadn't really talked about, and ale, which they were in the process of indulging in.
Had you expected that to happen during the course? I mean, had you been given a brief which described how that situation might occur?
No, on my interview. On my interview, I was told that I would be based in pubs and clubs, and I had imagined that I would go to a few places and then choose one and stay there and work. But as it happened, places were so different and so diverse that I wanted to try and present the spectrum of people, and I wanted to bring about some sort of portraiture of people that I met. So I evolved a series of beer mats that would present portraits of these various blokes all over the north. They were called the Fine Art Fine Ale beer mats, hopefully to be produced and end up back in the pubs. So there would be the photographic image of some gent that I've been talking to, and on the back the quotes from tape transcripts that I'd made in situ of what he'd actually said about art and what he actually said about ale. People were very forthcoming. Because pubs are such relaxed environments, people are slowly
unfolding.
There were very few inhibitions, apart from the initial ones, and apart from having to psych myself up to accost strangers with camera and tape recorder.
But in that situation, you're actually very dependent on the situation. I mean, it's very unlike your previous studio-based work. I mean, did you find that difficult?
Yes, it was terrifying, because I had 2 days in an area, I had 3 pubs to visit, and I had to produce something at the end of it that had to be used. There was only 8 weeks going round. Then I was presumably going to go back to London and work from a more studio-based, capacity. It was in a way a race against time. It was difficult to know quite how you could use that short period of time without ballsing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just felt that there were all those people there, and I was in there like an alien, and they looked at me like an alien. I just had to somehow initiate some sort of contact that could then be used and could then be the core and the substance of work. So it all really came from them. I was just trying to gather it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it happen.
How much were you paid for the residency? What was it spent?
To cover the 8 weeks in the field, I was given £800.
Was that to cover materials and?
It was, and to cover travel. But John Smith's, in fact, helped me with accommodation and materials subsequently after the 8 week fellowship to produce the work for the exhibition.
Did you feel that was enough? In fact, actually, this is a question that I'd like to ask about all the residences in terms of the financing of it. I mean, what you felt about how much did you get, Ian?
£6,000. I think this whole area is very tricky. Certainly for me, in a year, £6,000 isn't enough to live off.
Mm. You were provided though with your studio and your accommodation.
Yeah, that's true. But I also kept my London studio on simply because the rent is relatively cheap, and I didn't want to actually, over a year, lose a London studio.
Yes.
I also found that during that year I had to travel a lot, that I was actually in London at least once a fortnight.
Did you have to do that?
Yeah, it was of necessity usually. And the cost of actually making art is very expensive. I mean, you know, you can say that at least two-thirds of, as far as I'm concerned, two-thirds of that money went straight into raw materials to actually make work. So the actual money left to live on is relatively low. I mean, I would say that in that sense, £6,000 isn't enough to actually cover everything.
Yes.
I did have to have some other kind of income coming in.
Yes. What was yours, Maggie?
The residency was originally for 3 months, for which I received 1,500 from the Arts Council, £500 from the National Gallery for materials, and of course a great many things were provided by the National Gallery that I'm sure equaled that sum. Certainly when the residency was extended to 6 months, I would say that the National Gallery paid towards the whole enterprise at least that, if not more.
Mm-hmm. How did you find that you coped within that?
I coped within it.
And yours was not really enough? you're saying?
5/8 of my £800 went to British Rail in travel. Well, I think that speaks for itself. In fact, my teaching, my part-time teaching, really subsidised the fellowship and allowed it to be carried out.
Mm. I think there's a very tricky edge between actually providing enough money and not giving too much. You know, I think there's a very tricky balance there, and I'm not quite sure how you work it out.
Yes, what do you mean by too much?
In my situation, if you've given someone £10,000-£12,000, I think probably it would have been excessive. Mm-hmm. So £6,000 is probably right. I mean, you know how to actually use the situation and the money to its best advantage. And I think possibly part of it is that sort of capacity to do that, to actually make it work.
But isn't that perpetuating notions of the artist in the garret and struggling along
well,
with
no,
meager
I'm,
resources
no, I'm
and
not prepared
else?
To, I'm not prepared to live in a garret.
Artist in a basement, really, the current day equivalent, I find.
One of the other characteristics that comes out from the residences that you've described is the lack of definitions which are set out in the briefs, which you're mm-hmm. all fulfilling. And I'm wondering whether you found that a good thing, as somebody who is perhaps responsible from time to time for setting up residences. I mean, this is an area which I'm quite concerned with, how tight one should define a particular situation, or whether it is good to leave them fairly open so that the artist can find their own way, develop their own context.
I think it's extremely important that the artist is given absolute freedom. You're put in this unusual situation, totally unusual situation, and how an artist reacts to this complete change of circumstance, I mean, is all part of the way one is as an mm-hmm. artist, and no two artists are alike. And I don't know about anyone else, but I'm not very good at doing what I'm told to do. I could only really tell myself how to cope with the situation of the National Gallery, and when it came to the end of the residency, I said all I would say but for the future was that it was extremely important that the situation was left absolutely free and open for the next one to react in his or her way. Very important indeed that the artist deals with it themselves.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think there's a, you know, there's obviously a personality thing in that some people are much more easily relate to sort of the broader community than others, and some people are much more introspective. And also there's a weird correlation between the actual way you work and the way you relate to the community. I mean, there is a connection there. It's a very nebulous one, but nevertheless it exists. You know, the work itself indicates certain ways in which you can relate to people.
Mm-hmm. In my case, as I was working for a company that isn't involved with art really in any way at all, except in this experiment, they were very aware of their company image. And I found myself a lot of the time as sort of piggy in the middle between the punters at one end in the pubs and the image of them that I wanted to represent, and the company on the other side. I was working with the PR and public relations promotions department, and how they felt their company should be represented by me, by everybody. So in a way my position was quite delicate.
Yes.
In that sense.
Yes. Did you have those expectations before you started?
No, I had no idea. I was aware, obviously, from some questions. Why was I taking on this fellowship? Did I want to expose the evils of alcohol, etc., etc., which of course I didn't, you know. And I think once it was appreciated, I seemed to be in good faith about what I was doing, there didn't seem to be any problems. But once the thing actually got underway, of course I was meeting people quite rough and ready from all backgrounds, majority of them pretty working class, various sorts of, you know, from farm labourers to steel workers, miners, etc. And they're not perhaps the managing director type that might be more of a, I don't know, John Smith's typical drinker stroke image.
Right. So what kind of expectations did you have, Maggie, of the residency?
Well, as
before
I say,
going into it.
As I say, I didn't know at all how I would deal with it before I actually was there. I mean, I gave myself to the situation and was there nearly all the time, from early morning till late in the evening and all days of the week. What was immediately apparent was that I'd been given this extraordinary opportunity at the age of 35 to be a student again, because I regarded the importance of the experience for me was what I learnt from the pictures in the National Gallery. And it was a period of taking things in, absorbing, taking in everything that was there. And really, I think the importance of my work is what I've begun to do since the residency. I have really feel that I've learnt an enormous amount.
Mm.
And I think this learning is now flowering in the work I'm doing back home again with the cats. An artist is not normally having to deal with people very much.
Mm.
Well, I don't anyway. And the silence of being at home again was absolutely marvellous. But the experience of being there with those pictures was marvellous. But this was another point, I didn't think that it should be any longer than 6 months, because I think you'd be in danger of becoming part of the institution. And I don't think that's good for an artist. I think an artist has to move on all the time.
Yes.
And if it had been longer than 6 months, rather like the Prix de Rome, which I think finishes off more artists than it ever helps, that's 2 years. I think 6 months is just the right amount of time.
Mm-hmm. And what did you feel, Ian?
In terms of duration, I think a year was probably about right. I think 6 months wouldn't have been long enough. And a year did allow me to get a lot of work done and to deal and meet with people and to build up certain relationships. Simply because I was based in a studio and was having to kind of go out and meet people in order to make contacts and build up relationships.
Mm. Did your work change during the residency?
It didn't change in any kind of overt way. It changes in very discreet ways, in that I think having the money and being sort of dislocated in another situation does allow you to do things that you wouldn't normally have done.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, one of the things I found in Liverpool was that very few people were familiar with my work. Therefore, when people came round to the studio, they didn't have the preconceptions that, say, my friends have when they visit the studio as to what I should be doing. And I found that quite intriguing, that people weren't presuming that I should be doing certain things, and they actually gave me a lot more latitude than the other situation.
What kind of problems did you have with the residences, Ian?
I think lots of problems. In terms of working, I don't think it was really a problem. I mean, I already had a program of work, to some extent, worked out that I went up there and started working on. I think for me the problems were much more to do with how I actually related to the broader context of the Merseyside art scene. And those problems were, to some extent, to do with the sort of political nature of the situation up there. And certain things I did find very disturbing, the lack of working artists on Merseyside. I was quite surprised that for such a big city, there are actually very few practicing artists up there. And also I found it difficult to spend a year in a city that had so little visual art in it. From having been in London where
yes.
I could go out and see a few shows a week, I suddenly found myself wandering around the Walker 4 times a week. And the staff there would sort of say to me, "What are you doing here again?" And I would sort of say, "Well, I've come to look at some pictures, you know."
Maggie?
There was a problem when one day in the 6 months I wasn't allowed to park my van at the National Gallery. apart from that, I don't think there were any problems. The studio I was given was quite extraordinary in that there was not 1 millimetre of natural light. But again, rather like the studio not being ready in the first place, I was forced to work in the collection. I learnt a great deal about shadows that I would never otherwise have learnt by working in this extraordinary studio with no natural light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the great thing was to be positive about everything that happened. And I can't really think of many problems.
That's marvellous. Helen?
I think my main problem was a race against time. I had 8 weeks to cover an enormous area and a subsequent 4 months for a deadline for the exhibition that was to show the work that had been done by the 6 artists in the various industries. So it was pretty frenetic.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the physical difficulties outweighed anything else, really. There wasn't a lot of time to really think. There wasn't a lot of time to really know exactly what you were doing. I suppose it was pretty alienating travelling around. Sort of bed and breakfast would be the work routine. Go to the pub at 11 o'clock. Leave the pub at 3 if you could get away. Have something to eat. Turn up the next pub 7 o'clock. Leave the pub 11, 12, 1, 2 if you could get out of the... It was just... a bizarre lifestyle, and I think that was the most difficult thing to cope with and to try and integrate work in between all that.
Yes. I mean, of all the residency situations, you're the only one in this group who isn't a painter. Why do you think you were selected?
I think perhaps the company felt, rather than have a painter again, I think they felt like being a bit more bold, and my work has taken the form previously of constructions that are then used with sound, photograph, possibly performed aspects to the work. So I was going to produce a flavour of pubs in some way, not just relying on mere visual imagery. I very much wanted to use sound recordings that had been made in the field, and somehow incorporate all that. I didn't mind using any type of form. I was thinking of using a war cry type paper that would be like some art news that would turn up in the pubs that I would go and flog around. I had lots of ideas like that, perhaps doing an act for a club about the people in the club that I'd met, so I'd sort of present an artist's eye view of them back at them. There were various possibilities, but I felt I had to really marry lots of different things going on at once and produce something quite unique that represented the bizarreness of my life as an artist in those places. Obviously it would have been much easier with a painting background or as a draftsman or whatever, as a straight sculptor, to gather information and then process it back in the studio.
But it's interesting that the firm actually selected you, because one would have felt that your work might possibly have been threatening. Do you think your work developed or has changed as a result of the residency? I mean, what did you feel you got out of it?
What I very much got out of it was making other people the substance of the work. It wasn't in any way autobiographical, it wasn't about me. I was in a way honouring the things that they'd said and presenting their life out to an audience. Rather than give me a sense of detachment, I became almost like the slave to presenting it the right way, the way that they were, the way that I saw they were. So that's something I've never really done. I'd started working with people and using tapes with people, trying to present their characters, their personality, portraits of them. This was really an extension of that.